Well, I want to do something a little different, maybe unique. The title of my sharing is The Significant Animals in the Bible. All right? Significant animals in the Bible. All right? Now, I know we talk about many times people in the Bible, right? We talk about Paul and Peter and David and all these different people, which is fascinating, very interesting. But what about the animals? They play a role, don't they?
Yes.
And so there's great significance when you look at the different animals, and we're going to look at a few of them. For me, it was fascinating to look at a lot of different animals and the roles they played in the Bible. But we're going to look at just what I think we've got eight animals we're going to look at, or actually seven. But I've got pictures for you. All right. And I'm hoping that the boys could appreciate some of these here. I've already talked to them and showed them the pictures here. Evan, could you come up and get one of these pictures? Debbie's got one for you. Here, Debbie's got one. And take another one back to your folks so they have one, okay? Here, give them another one. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's a
anybody? Did you want to sit with me?
No. Are you want to sit with Gavin? You got to be quiet if you sit up here, all right? He's got his own chair. He's ready to go. Okie doke. Well, our first one is the what?
Lion.
The lion. So what, in our times and culture, we many times say the lion is the king of the
jungle.
Yeah, he's the king of the jungle. He's the one that's stronger than anybody. And so in the Bible, when you look at Proverbs 30:30, and I'll quote most of these verses. You're welcome, obviously, to join along and look in the Bible here. But it says in Proverbs 30:30, it tells us about the lion. And it says, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in their time and culture, the lion was it. That was the toughest animal. And so they would many times refer people as lions. And one of the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes, the one tribe that Jesus came out of, David came out of, what tribe was that?
Judah.
Right, and in the Bible it talks about Judah. The lion represents Judah, and it says in Revelation 5:5. I'll quote this: "Behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there's other verses referring to the tribe of Judah where Jesus came out of. It was prophesied right in the Bible. That this would happen. Everything that's prophesied in the Bible about the coming of Jesus, the Messiah, came to pass. And we're going to see that even bigger here as we look at some of the other critters. Now, I like Proverbs 28:1. 28:1, I'll quote this for you. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are what?
Bold
as a lion.
Amen.
All right. Let me ask you a question. As a born-again Christian, you have the righteousness of God in you, right? You are righteous before Him. So how could you appreciate this scripture here? The righteous are bold as a lion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So your life, when you are faced with issues, Do you face them like a little mouse and run away? No, you face them like a lion, right? You're bold as a lion. We've got Christ in us. He's of the tribe of Judah, a lion. We're bold as lions because we are righteous before God. I like that verse there.
Mm-hmm.
Now let me share Psalms 91, 13, and 14.
Mm-hmm.
And this is going to kind of introduce us to the next animal. And so Psalm 91, I'm going to be sharing out of the ESV. This is what I'm going to quote to you. Verse 13, it says, "You will tread on the lion and the adder." Now, what's an adder?
Snake.
It's a snake. Cobra. Is that what it says in your translation, Cobra?
Cobra.
"The young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." Wow. Quite a prophecy there, huh?
Genesis
3:15. So, yeah, we'll see that. 91:14, verse 14 says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think about the manifestations we heard, that we have that connection with our Heavenly Father, and he knows who we are.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what does it say about our head? Now, Don probably can't appreciate this so much.
Yeah.
But the hairs on our head are numbered, right?
That's it.
Sorry, Don. On your chin, too, maybe, huh?
Or the head.
Yeah.
It's your hair.
Yes.
And your heart.
Yeah.
God only made so many perfect heads, and the rest he covered with hair.
You are perfect.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the next animal, the snake. Now, I don't like snakes. I know there's nice gopher snakes and king snakes that are good. But I'm not a snake. I know some people are. But in the Bible, for the most part, snakes represent evil and temptation, right? Genesis 3:14 and 15, I think most of us are familiar with this. "Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is this that you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me and I ate.'" So I think we're familiar with the story where she was deceived. The devil came in the form of a snake, right? And so she was deceived and man fell. And that's why we had to have verse 15. And who's got verse 15? I don't have that right here.
I know about
it. Can you read it real loud for us,
He knows it hard.
You got it right there?
Well, it
real loud.
I'm not probably going to get it exactly, but God says to the serpent, "I shall put enmity between thy seed and the seed of the woman." And I like to say, "You shall hurt his heel, but he shall crush your head."
Yes, that's the essence of it. Yeah, it was the first great prophecy of the Messiah that would come and fix the situation. And yes, his heel would be wounded in that he died, but God raised him from the dead. And eventually here he will crush and destroy the devil, the adversary. The Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life." So this is the lifestyle of a snake.
Yeah, really.
Here. And then I do have the verse 15. I'm sorry. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel."
A promise seed.
Yeah, promise seed. Yeah, amen. There's another interesting story Numbers 21. And this deals with the children of Israel are leaving Egypt. They're in the wilderness, right? They're not allowed to go into the promised land. And they have all kinds of things going on. And one of the things that happened was all of a sudden people were getting bit by snakes. All right? And this was a big problem. So in Numbers 21:7, it talks about Moses in the wilderness here, and it says, "And the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned.'" And it's nice that they recognize why they're having snake problems. "For we have sinned, for we have spoken against God and against you. Pray to the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, Numbers 21:8. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live.'" Now, isn't that wild?
Yeah.
He has this pole, all right, and he puts this snake, he didn't have a live snake, but a brass or whatever it was, on this pole. And if somebody got bit by a snake, they look at that, they were healed. How that works and happens, I don't know. But God is so gracious and loving to do that.
Jesus.
Yeah. So what is really interesting about this, and as you can see the picture that I handed out, that's a picture of, and the boys, we were looking at that, they said, I said, "Can you see an animal on there?" And they said, "Oh, that's an ambulance." Yeah. And they look closer and closer. And there's that symbol in the blue. Can you see that?
Mm-hmm.
That is a snake on a pole. Now, why is that? I think little Dubby probably knows. She's a full-on nurse these days.
Mm-hmm.
And
registered
nurse. And so the medical field used this as an emblem for the medical field, right?
Amen.
I wonder, do most of the people in the medical field know why this is the symbol or anything, I wonder?
Greek mythology. If they do, it's Greek mythology, not this.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They don't teach it.
They don't share about it in school, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty neat that through the years, I wonder if that's true in Europe and other places. Anybody have any? What about like in Mexico, maybe?
I don't know, but I would think it's universal. I don't know because of the Red Cross, and right? I mean, in terms of, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in the United States, obviously, but.
You know, I don't know if you look at it this way, but in the Bible, all they had to do was look at the serpent on the pole and they'd be healed. Why would you have that as part of an emblem on an ambulance? Because you're going to get healed. You're going to get taken care of. You're hurt.
Yeah.
So come.
Yeah, I hear you.
I have the skinny on the universality of the medical symbol. It's called the rod of Asclepius, and it's used everywhere in the world to denote medical, infirmaries, ambulances, and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, Claudia just shared. Thanks for doing that, Claudia. She was born in northern Italy, Switzerland area there. Switzerland. I got it right. So thanks for sharing that. She mentions that this symbol's used. And I guess there's some Greek mythology behind it, too, as well. But where did they get it, I wonder? Yes.
The Tower of Babel. I mean, you figure they all spoke the same language, and after that, they dissipated. So they took
all
the thought of customs, because every religion has something to do with
the stars.
Yeah.
I mean, they all had this from day one because God put it there before He even put man on earth, and it was written in the stars.
In that phenomenon.
All of these animals are in the stars, every one of them.
And that's a great point that they are, and that's where the Bible was before it was written.
Mm-hmm.
And they were taught that, and they could see there is this snake. I can't remember what it's called in the Greek. Ophicus.
Well, there's so many.
And to clarify the connection with Greek mythology, it's actually a counterfeit comes from Hermes, the Greek god of thieves, and it's two snakes on a staff with wings on top. So people
I've seen that too. Yeah, where people have used that. Interesting. Thanks for sharing that. Okay, well, all right, where are we at here?
The eagle, I think.
Eagle.
All right, we're now. The eagle. Yeah, we really, in our country, obviously, with the bald eagle, I told the kids that. I said, they don't look bald to me.
We got to get referenced. I wanted to bring back on the serpent. And, Yeshua was put up on the cross, and we are to look to him.
Okay, exactly.
Says that as Moses held him up.
Right,
so
exactly.
Great point. So Thank you. Yeah. You guys are great. You know.
But he also said, it's a symbol of wisdom, too. It's metaphorical. Be ye wise as serpents and harmless as what one of these are in here.
Yeah. And the serpent was pretty wise, tricked Eve, right?
Yeah. And one-third of all the angels he tricked, too.
Yeah.
He got them to go along with him, and they saw God. We've never seen God. Those one-third of the angels that followed Lucifer, they had walked with God. Mm-hmm. He convinced them to go against their creator.
That's wild. That is wild.
Yeah.
All right. We're to the eagle, all right? And obviously there's different eagles. I don't know if there's bald eagles in the Bible lands. I don't think so. No. I think it's North America, unique to North America. But Samuel, 2 Samuel 1:23. Mentioned Saul and Jonathan. Now, Jonathan was a son of Saul, and Jonathan, I think you remember, was a very good friend of David. They were good buddies. But it says in 2 Samuel 1:23, Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. So that's quite a connection there in their prowess as soldiers. They were very, very successful, stronger than lions and swifter than eagles. You know, eagles, we say, rise above the storms. They get above all the junk that's going on. And we can associate ourselves as we can soar above the storms as well. There's a wonderful, famous verse, Isaiah 40:31, that I want to share with you about the eagles. There's, I'm just briefly sharing on these critters, but this one's a great verse, 40:31 in Isaiah, and it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yeah. Wow. So, we wait upon the Lord. We're patient. We have the endurance. And in doing that, we renew our strength and shall mount up with wings like eagles. In the Bible culture, and Bishop Pillai, who taught Bible idioms and the culture of the Bible times, would share about the certain eagles that would, as time goes on, their feathers kind of wear out. They dive into the water and get all the old feathers off, and then they come out and they have to wait before they could do a lot of their flying for the new feathers to come in. And so there's that waiting upon the Lord, that patience, endurance, but then you mount up as wings of eagles. Isn't that a neat mind picture? They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Yeah, pretty neat mind picture. Yeah, Al.
Let me read you this little snippet as far as bald eagles are concerned.
Okay.
It says bald eagles are called bald because the word originally meant white, and you know their head's white.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Referring to the bird's white head, the name comes from an old English word for white and describes the color contrast, not a lack of feathers. The name was given by American colonists.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, that's our national bird. Yeah, real quick.
Well, Don was going to say that. That's confirmation right now. I just looked that up right before he was sharing.
Okay.
And I want to share with you that I was in Psalm 91 before you even mentioned the snake. And the eagle is in there in the constellation Aquila. The wings cover us with Christ's blood sacrifice.
Wow.
And the constellation Aquila references that.
And Aquila is eagle in the Greek. Yeah, very good. That's cool. Good. Thanks, you guys. Thanks for sharing on this. Well, let's look at the donkey. All right. The donkey, the ass, the animal of burden. We think of these animals in our time, they're kind of dumb, don't we? But I think back in the Bible times, they were a little more respected than what we have in our times and culture. There was a prophecy in Zechariah 9:9 that the Redeemer would go into Jerusalem on a colt or a donkey. There's different words in your different Bibles. They used ass or donkey or colt. The story is in Luke 19:28, where, and it's, I think you remember the story where he goes in with in victory, going into Jerusalem. Riding on, most of your translations are colts, okay? And so that prophecy came to pass, as all the prophecies of our Messiah came to pass. Now, there's a phenomenal story in Numbers 22, 27:32. This is one of the craziest stories, I think, in the Bible. I tell you, this is cool, though. It's a story of a guy named Balaam. And Balaam was a man of God, but he got off the ball quite a bit. And he was on this trip, and God didn't want him to go on this trip, but he's got to go on this trip, so he's on his donkey, all right? And so I'm going to read verse 27. This is in Numbers 22. Verse 27, if you're following along. And so he's on this donkey. God's putting an angel, which is pretty nice of God to do this, with a sword, saying, don't come through here. You're gonna die if you come through here. You're not supposed to be coming this way. So verse 27, Numbers 22, when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, now the donkey saw the angel, she lay down under Balaam. Balaam didn't see the donkey yet, or the angel. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. He beat the donkey. Verse 28, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said to Balaam, she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? Oh, my gosh. Now, what would you do if you were riding a horse or an animal, all of a sudden the animal start talking to you? Do a movie. What's Mr. Ed? Next verse gets me. And Balaam said to the donkey, he started talking back to the donkey, because you have made a fool of me. I wish I had a sword in my hand, for then I would kill you. So Balaam is having a nice conversation. Well, not a nice conversation. With this donkey. Verse 30. And the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey, on which you have ridden all your life long to this day? Here's this donkey, you know, going over the his life with him, trying to let him know that you know, he's worth something here.
Listen to talking donkeys, not talking snakes.
Yes, yes. Is it my habit to treat you this way? And Balaam says, no. Verse 31, then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed down and fell on his face. Balaam did. Verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to oppose you because your way is perverse before me.
Yeah.
Well, what happens? I'm not going to read the rest of this, but Balaam, okay, you know, he admits he was wrong, and he changed his ways, and he stopped beating his donkey.
Good donkey.
Yeah, aren't they cute? All right, a horse. All right, a horse biblically represents strength and beauty and speed. And it says in Revelation, I should have got a picture of this, but I got a picture of George.
Yeah.
But in the future in Revelation, he comes back, as it says in Revelation, on a white horse. And a white horse represents victory. A lot of your leaders through the years riding horses, they ride the white horse, right? George Washington, for the most part, had white horses and rode them. And
good guys.
And of course, your favorite cowboys
wore white hats.
Well, they wore white hats and rode white horses.
A Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger, right? And a bunch of other cowboys.
Delish.
Yeah, so. But there's a wonderful picture in here of George Washington praying. You know, kneeling next to his white horse, praying.
His prayer was so effective that part of the, one of the colonists who was in favor of England saw George Washington get off his horse, heard his prayer. He ran to the house where the Tories were, the British, tell them, he opened the door, they recognized him as their secret friend, and he told them, the Tories from England, that our cause is doomed. And they looked at him, what do you mean? He said, I just heard General Washington in prayer. It's all over. And that's basically what happened.
That was in a movie, too.
Before it was a movie, it actually happened. Somebody heard it, and they recorded it. Isn't that powerful?
That's great.
So what was that reference?
I don't have the reference on that. All right, next animal, lamb. Oh my goodness, we need to move along here. Lamb, two more animals. Lambs were very helpless. And that's why they needed a shepherd, right? But lambs are super important because they provided food and wool so they could have clothes and tents and all, you know, everything that they basically needed. They could get from this animal. And God chose this animal to be the sacrificial animal. There were others, but this was the main animal. And they would pick the best, perfect lamb to sacrifice. And of course, they needed these animals, right? But they would sacrifice them, and in most of the sacrifices, they would burn the whole animal. But God provided. God provided in spite of them taking this resource and doing it. It's like abundant sharing, financial giving. I'm giving my money. But God's going to bless you back. Because you do give, God multiplies it back to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting how that works.
And you give the best.
You give the best, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last time.
Yeah, God, it says for the believers, God loves a cheerful giver. And the Greek word is hilaros, which means where we get the word hilarious from. So, but yeah, pretty neat, pretty neat. So, John 1:29 is a couple of verse references here, okay? I know there's a lot we could look at on this. I think most of you kind of know this, but John the Baptist, he said, the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. As we know, Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice that made all the difference. Again, the reason for all those sacrifices in the Old Testament was to prepare the people for the ultimate sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. 1 Peter 1:18 and 21. Great verses here for us. 1 Peter 1:18, 21. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And if, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your believing, your faith, and hope might be in God. And those great, great verses there. You talk about the stars and stuff. I mean, that's all in there as well. The sacrifice, pretty neat.
That's Aries there.
Aries, yes. Yeah. Well, finally, for us as born again ones, what were we born again with? What is that incorruptible seed? Holy Spirit. Yeah. And what animal represents the Holy Spirit?
Yeah.
The dove. Okay. So the dove represents peace and Holy Spirit. Of course, we can look at the story of Noah. On the ship, he's got all these animals. The rains have stopped. The water's starting to recede. And who does he send? What animal does he send to check it out and see if things are okay, if there's some land somewhere?
First,
the raven.
He sent the raven.
He didn't come back.
Bro.
The dove.
But then he sent the dove. And what did the dove come back with?
An olive branch.
Yeah, leaves. So that symbol is stuck with most cultures as a symbol of peace, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things are okay. John, here's a couple of verses here. We're going to close in John 1:32. You know, we use the term harmless as doves, and the doves don't they're just so so peaceful and. What does it say about doves? They don't have any
gall.
Yeah.
No malice.
No malice. No gall. Bitterness. It's just really fits.
Harmless as doves.
It just really fits. All right. John, Gospel of John 1:32, and John bear record saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and abode upon him, Jesus." In verse 33, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptized with the Holy Spirit. So, yeah, that dove represents the Holy Spirit, that gift of Holy Spirit that you and I each have one of them, right?
Yeah.
Right. We don't have a dove, we have a Holy Spirit, right? Yeah.
Symbolic.
So there's a lot of different animals in the Bible, but I thought these would be interesting to take a look at. And I know I was hoping the boys would be, but we had some time before. I was with the boys downstairs going over these animals.
Mom, where's the husk?
Where's the husk? Oh, the huskies. Well, I told you about animals. I know you guys got the pups, so.
Pups. Thank you.
Canis Major.
How?
Yeah. I'm going to read this one verse. It's back on the lamb, but the analogy is used about Jesus Christ, and everyone is important. And it's in Matthew. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, what will he do?
only leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that is lost.
Yeah. That's the heart of our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father, huh? Yes, Don.
There's a book of the Bible by the name of one of these animals. Can you guess which one it is? It's that last one, the dove.
Is it in the Bible?
The Hebrew word for dove is Yonah.
Yonah.
And
Jonah.
Yes, Jonah, is his name means dove.
Oh, my goodness.
And he was sent to a Gentile
nation, yes,
for salvation, and they believed. At that point, they repented, and their destruction was suspended.
Yes, yes.
But later on, the rest...
yeah, the axe. Interesting. Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
So that means death?
Yes.
Interesting.
All right.